all that scripture about Jesus being the same. We know that we serve a sovereign God, and He doesn't change His mind, but God is always the same. And you know what? This week took a lot of reflection for me about the world and the way that things are going. And I stand before you just a week ago, tonight would be a week ago, that we in America have suffered the worst shooting that we've ever had in this country before, and I believe the death toll is still at 59 people where they had perished and lost their lives just going out and just trying to have a good time. And we come to the conclusion, and of course we have to ask the questions, and we have to ask why, and how do these things happen, and what's going on with society? How can somebody be broken down so much? And it's not just a one-time thing, is it? But it seems like every time I come up here, there's more things that have happened. And every morning that we wake up, it's almost just like, where's the next piece of news? And I got to tell you, we still are blessed to live in the United States of America. We still are blessed to live in this country. There are people that wake up across this world and they live in a reality of what a true war zone is like. But God has granted us peace for this time being. Even though we see things collapsing now, I still believe that God's hand is still over this country. He's still a blessing to this country. And there are people still in this country that love Him and that want to live for Him. But the world is asking right now, why? Why is there so much chaos? And there's a lot of debates to go over this. And you can ask yourself why, and we could disagree with each other on the things that why, but even your children, they might ask you why. Young minds are saying, why would bad people do things the way that they do? And one of the easiest explanations that we can come up with is that's just the way things are. It's just the way things are. And usually we use this phrase, and we've said it before, you've heard it before, that's just the way things are, because we don't have an understanding sometimes, or we can't fully explain why things are. Think about your children. Daddy, can I have more dessert? No. Why? Because I said so. Because that's just the way that things are. That's the way that the world is. And the title of today's message, and I'm not just going to go just there, but the title of today's message and what I really like to talk about are the things that are. We're going to talk about those things that are. We're going to talk about that's just the way that things are. We're going to talk about the way that these things are. And we live in this ever-changing world. And we look about just, let's just take 60 years ago. Let's take 50 years ago. We could even go 40 years ago. And we see that the world is a very different place about what's taking place right now. Even for me, I just celebrated my 33rd. Is that right? Wow. Celebrated my 33rd birthday. And I think about just when I was a kid and how children conducted themselves and just the way that the world was. Raising a child just 30 years ago is drastically different than how you would raise a child today. And everything is just so different. And we have to understand, or if you're a youth pastor, if you're a parent here, you have to understand the way that the world's changing. If you have children, the two parents of that lovely little baby over there, you've got to have a keen understanding about what the world is teaching your child, and you've got to stay up to terms on the things that have happened. You got to actually know what is hip. I've probably surprised the youth many times before when they would come in playing Kanye or Jay-Z, and I say, you know, that's the same guy that dressed up as Jesus on his front of his album, and he wore the head of thorns, and he did all these things, and I know Nicki, she shouldn't be in your headphones, because I had to stay up to what was popular, and I know it surprised some of them, that's all right. Because if you don't pay attention, if you go somewhere for just a couple of years nowadays, when you come out, everything's going to be different. So as parents, we've got to know what's going on. We've got to know what's going on. As youth pastors, you have to know what's popular, and you have to pay attention. Because things are always changing, and things change just as fast as fashion changes around this world. And you know what else changes around this world so fast? And what's right and what's wrong. What's right and what's wrong always seems to change. And you would think that what's right would always be right and wrong would always be wrong. But that's not the case. That isn't the case nowadays. There's people fighting to make pedophilia legal. And in some countries, it is. In this state alone, it would be okay if you were a 16-year-old girl and you were hooking up with however old you wanted to be, man. Those things are acceptable in today's society. That was never the way it was designed or supposed to be. There's things that are always going to be wrong, always, and there are things that should always be right. but was once unacceptable, and I'm not even talking about church right now, what was once even unacceptable on TV is now flaunted in today's society. People go and they take pride in the things that go against God's word. If you just think, let's just look at conversations on how things happen in the grocery store. I've heard children curse out their parents. But I've heard parents have a cursing conversation in front of their children. Where do they learn it from? Let's take a guess. Children, youth now. I've heard the most vile, I'm not saying from this church, this youth group, but I've heard the most vile conversations comes out of the words of youth in our generation. Explicit things uttered in public that should never even make the light of day. But children and people would gather together and have conversations on things that we would be ashamed to even say, or ashamed to even hear, things that would make us embarrassed to even hear, but it's just uttered in public like it's no big deal. It's no big deal. But where is the word of God in all this? You know, I've done this before at work. People would have conversations that aren't really going just right. And you could just say just this simple phrase. Go ahead and try it me next time. Next time you hear something that's going on and people cursing or carrying on, you know what I'm talking about. Just go ahead and just say, this world needs Jesus. Say that. And watch how that conversation just stops and dies down. You can't say that in society anymore. You can't go ahead and just say that to somebody, you need Jesus. It's offensive to that person. It really is. You can't go ahead and say that to anybody. But this whole world is unashamed to talk about what they want to talk about. The youth of this world are just unashamed to portray what they want to portray. But where are the people that would stand up for the gospel? Is there any young people? Is there any people in this house that aren't ashamed to stand up for the gospel? That won't fall into these lies that are being told to us? We have to be unashamed. Thank you, Jesus. Young people, you can't fall into the lies that the world is going to tell you. The world will tell you that you really can't talk about God, that you can't pray at school, that you can't love your God. And I want to tell you that this lie has been going on for a long time. It was Saul, King Saul, that walked up to David, and you know where I'm going, maybe. David and Goliath. We understand David and Goliath. David killed Goliath. It was such a miraculous thing because David was a small boy and Goliath, he was a big man. But King Saul walked up to David and he said, you can't defeat Goliath. You can't do that because you're just a boy. You're just a small boy. He said, you're just a kid. You're just a youth is what he said. And he said that Goliath now, he's been fighting since his youth. You see the contradictory there? You see what he's saying? You can't do this because you're youth. But for them, it's okay because they were doing that since their youth. You can go over there and do that in your youth, but you can't be over here and do this for God in your youth. You can't go to church on Sunday. You shouldn't commit to a belief system like the Bible. You shouldn't stand on the Word of God. But if you want to do anything else on Sunday, that's okay. You can play sports on Sunday. You should go somewhere else on Sunday. Believe in the things that are of this world on Sunday and do all these things that aren't like God. Because for them, it's acceptable to be Goliath, but there's no Davids allowed. But David was able to stand for God. He was able to defeat Goliath because he said, I come in the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, young people, that you can live for God in this generation. You can do the things of God. You can live a holy and acceptable life. You can be a David in your generation. You don't have to be with the Philistines and be a Goliath, but you can stand for God. It's amazing how everything else is acceptable. Everything else seems to be acceptable except for going to church and for believing in the things that the Bible says. The Bible's an old book, and you want to be contemporary. You want to be up to beat on everything that's happening, and all those things that are new are acceptable, but the Bible, don't say Jesus. Don't do those things. Man, everything is changing. This world is changing. The morals, they change with the wind because it's the way that the world has founded their belief system on. The world is founding their belief system on what's popular. What's popular today would be unpopular tomorrow. They founded their belief system on sand, that ever-changing sand, their foundation and what they believe in. And everything changes. But I'm telling you, if you can base your life on this word, if you can base your morals on this word, if you can base how you raise your family on this word, if you conduct yourself on the way that this word says, that you're not going to change, but you're going to be like God because he doesn't change. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today, and he's the same forever. This world, just think about how much division of this world is. People don't understand. Why would the enemy want to divide the people? Purely to conquer them. And we see this happening in our media every single day. Division after division. The media divides us. Things that are popular divide us. Every single day, it's division. People are being conquered. Every time we turn on the news, every time I turn on the news, everything's about a race war. It's us versus them. It's them versus us. And they just continue to divide the people so they can be defeated. News outlets that keep on talking about the way that America is divided need to walk into a place like this here today. They need to be televising what's going on here today, where you have every shade of every kind of human in this place, and there's one race that matters. It matters because we're the human race, and God died for this human race, every single one of us. I'm telling you, it's a funny thing when you open this book and you base your life on it. If I open this book tomorrow, it's going to say the same thing that it says today. When I open this book to my family, it's going to say the same thing to your family. What it says to the white people, says it to the black people. What it says to every race in between, it says it to you and me. What it says to the poor, it says to the rich. What it says to the politicians, it says to us. This thing will never change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but there's one thing that will remain, and that is the word of God. Everything is temporary, but this word will always remain. His word has always been the same, and we can explain it like this. That's just the way that things are, because the things that are in this book will come true. The things that were in this book are true. The things that this says will happen. This will always be the same. Jesus. God is always the same, and I'm telling you, I'm setting my life on what the Word of God says, because I know that is not the sand of this world, but that this is the rock, what we must come to live on. In a world filled with chaos, we need to be ready to have that answer for everyone that's wondering why the things the way that they are. Why the things the way that we are? Because we're drifting from where we were founded upon. We're drifting from the rock. We're drifting from the foundation. This is what's always going to be stable in a world of chaos, this right here. I think sometimes, though, we actually think that we can change an unchanging God. Somehow, sometimes, I think that we can change the mind of God. Maybe it's because of what we're going through, but we think sometimes that we can convince God that we know what's best for our current situation. I began to think back when I was a teen, and if you have teens, you could probably relate to my story about when I was a teen. And being raised without a father, we just had a mother. But, you know, sometimes I can convince my mother to change her mind. Sometimes I can convince her to allow me to do the things that maybe I wasn't supposed to do. Maybe I can convince her to go to a certain place. She would say no, and then I would always knew no wasn't the final answer. I knew, and I would work on convincing her. Mom, all the other kids are going to be there. I really want to go. Sometimes I would just pester just a little bit, and if it really came down to it, Mom, I'll pay my own way. I'll use my own money, Mom. And sometimes you even really had to do things. Mom, I'll even mow the lawn. I'll mow the lawn, Mom. I'll do whatever chores I have to do if you allow me to. And eventually, she would probably say okay, and I would go out and do the things that teens do. But sometimes I think we take this approach with God in prayer the same way. God, if you would just allow me to have this relationship with this one person, God. No. God, I would be so happy if you would just bless me in this certain way, God. If you would just heal me right now and I would always be stronger and I would never have all this stuff. God, I'll even mow the lawn if you just let me have these things. We see we work on changing God's mind. We work on praying to change God when we should be praying that we change ourselves. That we change our own mind. God, give me understanding why I'm going through this right now. God, I trust you. In this situation right now, I know that eventually I'll get my deliverance, God. And God, I know that you're what's best for me. See, it's the way that we say things. Instead of trying to change God, when he's trying to change us, we need to approach our prayer in that. Yes. God isn't going to change. He's trying to change you. He's trying to change me. Think about this. God spoke life into existence. He saw that these things were good, but when God spoke the earth into existence and he spoke the heavens into existence, he didn't turn to me and say, what do you think about this? He didn't turn to you either and ask you what you thought about the situation. But God did all that by himself. He doesn't need our opinion, but he is God. And he's been God all by himself from the very beginning. We need to be able to trust God and trust him that he's a big God. He's a good God, and he knows what he's doing. So we have that understanding that God isn't going to change. He's certainly been the same. And the things that this Bible says are true. The things that this Bible says will come true, will come true. And we can take this Bible to the bank. You can bet on it. Don't bet. That's a joke, people. Come on now. But I'm telling you that this word is true. And I want to talk about some of these things that are in the Bible. Unmovable things, unchangeable things, guarantees of God. What about the requirements of God? These things will not change. We need to understand what God says is true, and what God requires of us is true. The things that are unchangeable, what God has said about you is true. What he says about me is true. I'm going to take a scripture from Romans 16:20. It reads this, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." And it continues on, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." But look at that first part. It says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet," under my feet. He shall be bruised under our feet. This is what the Word of God says. And these are one of those things that is just the way that it is. Having dominion over the enemy is just how things are. There's a couple amens here. There's other oppressed people in this building, I guess. Did you know that you were designed to trample over the enemy? The enemy was designed to be under your feet. You weren't designed to struggle each and every day, but you're designed to walk over the enemy. It's all right, I'll convince you. I'm telling you, sometimes you got to remind the devil of who's boss. You got to remind him of who's boss sometimes, because that's the way that the Word of God says it. You're boss. You walk over him. You trample over him. Bruise his head. We got this rooster over at the homestead there. I don't know if I ever talked about the rooster. He's a giant. That's really what he is. He's a New Jersey black giant. And that's his breed and what he's called. He's a big rooster. He's the boss of the chickens. Sometimes he thinks he's the boss of you. And he'll attack you when you're trying to get the eggs or you're too close to one of his hens. He's protective over him. But did you know that he knows that he's not the boss, this big black rooster? He really does know that he's not the boss, because there's one animal in the yard that knows he's the boss, and that's Buddy. He's about a 50-pound black pit bull that walks around, and he protects the property, and he protects the children, too. And he walks around, and he knows that he's the boss. When you see Buddy walking around the yard, he doesn't hang his head, he doesn't take short strides, and he never cares about where the rooster is. The children do. Even my wife always watches out for Big Black wherever he's at. That's our rooster. But Buddy doesn't care where the rooster's at. He walks right past him, doesn't look at him twice. He holds his head up high. He walks past him because he knows who's his boss. And every time he walks by, that rooster backs up because he knows that he's not the boss. People, I'm telling you that sometimes when you walk around, you got to remind Satan of who's boss. We don't need Christians walking around with their head hung low, thinking that they're defeated every second. But walk around. Hell, you need to back up for my family. You need to back up for my job situation, hell, because I trample over you, Satan. You have no dominion over me. Remind the devil of who's boss here today. He's under our feet. And I'm thinking about old-time church, and that had a lot more meaning sometimes back there. And people understood that's just the way that things are, that the devil was going to be trampled over, that he was going to be under our feet. And, you know, there was Pastor used to preach that back in the day, at least people used to just get something about them and would say that we trample over the enemy. And people all of a sudden would just go ahead and just start moving around and stuff. And they would picture their problem right here on the ground. And they would just say, Satan trying to attack my family. And they'd go ahead and just stomp them out a little bit. Even old people that would sit there, can't stand up. I remember this old deacon that was in the church, and he had his cane. And he would sit there with his cane. And the pastor would start preaching about the devil's under your feet. And he would just go ahead and just beat that back Cain, and there would be old women in this church service going ahead and just stomping Satan out. People, I'm telling you, you got to remind Satan of who's boss here today. If you could just picture your problem here for a second, and you don't have to live with that problem anymore, but you could just go ahead and just stomp him out. You could go ahead and say, devil, back up a little bit. I'm going to trample you here today. I got that problem, but I'm going to squash it out here today. There's nothing that just stand between you and God. You can stomp it out here today. You don't have to live like that. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. See, the devil keeps lying to people and keeps lying to church people. Oh, we live in a terrible world and things are going the way of the world. And he's convincing church people that the church has no more power because of the way that the world is going. That the church has no more power because of the things that are going on. But there's a power in this place that can defeat anything that's standing between you and God here today. There's a power in this place that could transform cities, that could transform families, that can have a difference in your life. There is a power that's here today. See, sometimes we believe in the devil and we say that, well, we're not qualified. You have to be somebody to stand up here. You've got to be someone to share your testimony, but that's not true. You're qualified. You are qualified. If you were going to write a resume to work for God, what qualifications does anybody really have to work for God? What have you done in your life that you could say you're worthy to work for God? But the Bible says a lot of things. On your resume, it would say, who are you? A believer. What are your qualifications? It comes from the work of God, from the word of God in Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. These are the qualifications of a believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Those are your qualifications. If you're a believer, you're allowed to do these things. These are how you're qualified to work with God, because that's the way that things are. Because God said so. And that's what makes you qualified to live for God. Healing belongs to us because that's what the Word of God says. And I know that there's hurting people here today. There's people with emotional distress here today. There's people probably with physical sickness here today. There's people that are brokenhearted here today. But I tell you the truth. And I tell you because that's the way that things are. Because God's Word said it. That He's a healer of all those things. All of those things He's a healer of. When someone prays for you, you have to start to believe it. When you pray for yourself, believe in that healing. Believe in the things that are. For the Bible says, by His stripes you are healed. By His stripes you are healed today. He's already paid that price for your healing. He's paid the price for what you're going through, how you're hurting. You are healed today. I love the argument of how people say that you pray for someone to get healed and they aren't healed. Why? I don't know. I can't answer every single question on why. I know that I can rely on this word, and I go back to the unexplainable and just say that's just the way that things are sometimes. But I tell you, I do believe in instantaneous healing. I believe it because I've seen it. We prayed for that baby, and that baby got a positive health report because we believed it, and now we see it. We believe in instant healings, and that's what I pray for. But I want to tell you, if sickness even strikes this body, I'm going to pray and believe in instant healing. But if sickness takes this body, if sickness takes this body to the grave, and I go into the grave and I face my death, I know that that's not the final say. Because God has the final say. Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Because the grave is never the final say. Even though if you weren't healed in this life, you've got a glorified body waiting for you in heaven, because God is a healer. We know that Jesus took those keys to death, hell, and the grave. And I began to think about this for a second. And I said, I can't. Wow, He actually has the keys to these. And if you've ever bought a new car before, or if you bought a house before, you go into a little office and you sign a ton of paperwork and you do all these things, and it's all legality stuff, and they want to be able to sue you if you don't pay for your things. But go ahead or just go out and buy a car cash, and you go out and buy your car cash, and there's still some legal paperwork. But the thing when you buy your car or you buy your house, the thing that they hand over to you that makes you feel like I finally own this thing is they give you the keys to your house. They give you the keys to your car, and that's what Jesus did when he saw you and he saw me and he went to the cross. He said, I got to go because I got to go and I got to go take these keys from the devil. And he said, give them up now because I own death and I own the grave and I own hell. You don't have control, but my church has dominion over this. And that's the way that things are going to be. That's the way that things are because this church has dominion over hell. This church has dominion. Hallelujah. Death, hell, and the grave shouldn't scare the believer. It should never scare the believer because we know that God would always have the final say. Always have the final say. Maybe many times, though, we allow doubt to rob us of our blessing. And I want to try to encourage you here today that the devil is going to try to lie to you, but you don't have to have any doubt in your heart here today. There's no doubt that should just live in the hearts of believers. And I understand sometimes that we go through things and it makes us question, and that's okay. You can take your questions right to God and let the peace of God just lay right over you and let God just answer your questions and talk to you. But we need to believe sometimes on just the way that things are, and the devil shouldn't be able to lie us out of heaven and lie us out of our blessings. But we need to understand that deliverance is here for us today. Deliverance is ours, and once God has forgiven you, that's going to be the end of it. Once God has forgiven you, that's the end of it. I know sometimes I feel the same way. Once God forgives me, I remind him about him tomorrow. God, I messed up. Once God forgives me, I ask him, are you sure? Is it just like that? But God takes our sin and he takes the things that we ask for forgiveness and he throws them into the sea of forgetfulness. He says, I forget about it. You're forgiven. It's over. I want to tell you, once you've been delivered from things and you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it's over. It's forgotten. He's not going to remind you about it. He doesn't look back and say, but I remember when you did this or when you did that and make you feel guilty about it. But there's no guilt in the heart of the believers. There's none of that anymore because God takes it and it's over. You've been redeemed. Even though you messed up, you still have redemption. Even though you messed up maybe tomorrow or yesterday, you can still come back to the forgiving God because that's the way that things are. He has offered this forgiveness to us. There's no condemnation anymore. There's no guilt anymore, but we have this forgiveness. We don't have to walk in the guilt of sin. And I know this isn't going to make you clap because sometimes it's just that real for us. We don't feel like we're worthy. We don't feel like we have these things or we have these problems and it doesn't make us feel like we really have redemption. We feel like we have to live in the struggle sometimes. And even I've heard, well, if you're struggling, then you must be doing something right. And maybe there's some truth to that, but God doesn't want you to struggle in the question of your mind if you're forgiven or not. He wants you to be sure that you've been forgiven. See, there's a difference between what the world tells you and what God tells you. There's a difference in that. See, if you struggled with addiction before, if you struggled with certain problems before, if you've struggled in your life and you went to the world and you saw counseling, and I'm not saying counseling is a horrible thing or a bad thing, but I'm telling you there's a difference here today because let's just say if you were addicted to alcohol, some people maybe that were before, and you can relate, but you go there, and the first thing that they make you admit to is that I, Michael Black, or whatever your name is, am an alcoholic. And everybody says hi to you. And they're going to tell you that for the rest of your life, you're going to be in recovery. For the rest of your life, you're going to be in recovery, and you're going to struggle with this thing. And you live in struggle in this counseling. But God tells you something totally different. Because he's forgiven you, he doesn't look at you as Michael Black, the alcoholic. He doesn't look like you anymore. And he says, you're not going to be in recovery for the rest of your life. But I give you redemption. See, redemption makes him look at you on just about who you are right now and what you're going to be. You don't have to be in recovery, but there's a difference. You can live in redemption. And God has given you redemption in your life. Oh, Jesus. I need to get ready to close here today. And wasn't not going to be that long. See, musicians could come back, and I just want to encourage someone here today. We need to look at the way that things are. If the way that the Bible says it, that's the way that we have to live it. And I really think sometimes, and I feel the hiccup in the spirit a little bit about forgiveness and about redemption. If you can see yourself the way that God sees you, I don't think you'd ever look in the mirror and have a little disgusted look on your face. God has so much love for you here today, and I hope that you begin to feel some of that love, and God just has positive things, and He knows the outcome that He wants for your life, and He knows the future that He has for you, and He says He designed it for prosperity. He designed it so that you can be united with Him. He designed your future because He loves you so much, and He wants what's best for you. But maybe after all these things, and I'm telling you, I'm just trying to encourage the body of Christ here today. Maybe after all this, you're saying, well, I'm still not sure. Maybe you don't know about the things that are. God wants you to be sure. He's provided a way for you to be sure. Some people may ask, why does it have to be this certain way? Why does it have to be this certain way? Well, that's just the way that things are. Because His word says that you must repent. And you must be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's what His Bible says. That's what this word says. You have to use the name. And if you weren't baptized in the name of Jesus, well, I want to tell you, you still can be baptized in the name of Jesus. The way that the Bible says. You could go down in the water and you can be redeemed. And you can have redemption for your sins. Some people say, well, why do you have to use that name? That's just the way that things are. And God says, when you have committed and you repented and you've been baptized, He said, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit. See, God is a giving God, and He gives you this Holy Ghost. And the Bible says it's a gift from God, and it is a gift from God. You don't have to worry about it, but God has got this gift for you when you follow Him. And you say, well, I believe in certain things in my life, and I don't did things exactly the way that things are. But I still believe that God has me and He loves me. God does have you. He does love you. And that's why you're here today. But you have to follow the way that things are. You know, I woke up this morning and I needed to come here. And I got in my car and I drove out and made a left down Superior Avenue. And I took a left onto 16th Avenue. I made a right on this back road and I made a left on 11th Avenue. I came down 11th, made a left on 50th, made a right on 40th. Took 40th to the Black Horse Pike, to the Black Horse Pike down here, past Virginia's house. Hi, Virginia. I went past your house and I came up and made a right onto Washington. I made a right into the parking lot. I got out of my car. I walked over to the church and I opened up the front doors and that's how I got here. You know, when I got out of my house, I thought that there was a better way. If I could have just skipped from my driveway to Washington Avenue, I would have done it. But you can't do that. People, you've got to follow the way that things are. You can't just jump in the Bible wherever you want to and skip over the book of Acts and land in the church and where God is speaking to believers that were already saved. And you said, this is how I'm going to be saved. Church, this is the way that things are. And you've got to follow the way that it's written. You've got to repent. And you've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. And you've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost because that's the way that things are. If we could all stand here today. So we want to follow the way that things are. If you need to be baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus here today, tell one of the ushers, tell one of us up here, and we can make that happen. If you need God to show you the way that things are, if you need to know that God's a healer, if you would just start to come up right now, I want to tell you that you can tell us here. We're going to pray for your instantaneous healing. I believe it, that God can heal you instantaneously here today. If you need to be reminded about who you are, would you join me up front and just let God show you who He is today? I believe it would be great for all of us just to come together. Let's let God show us who He is and the way that things are. Hallelujah.